Good morning. I would like to thank you guys so much for leading us in worship today. It's so good to have people who can lead and have friends who you can call on, and they can take care of you. Thanks again for that. This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. So go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 10. If you remember, earlier I mentioned that this is the last of the Beatitudes, but the Beatitudes are only just a small portion of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount actually goes through, depending on who you ask, chapter 7 or even through chapter 10. And so the Sermon on the Mount is a longer sermon than just the Beatitudes, and we'll jump into some of that a little more in the next few weeks. And so today's beatitude, if you will, says this: those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And then Jesus will continue to kind of define what that is in the following verses. So in the next verse, Jesus says, you are blessed when they insult you, or when they insult and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so Jesus gives us the great news that if we live like him, we're going to be persecuted, right? That's awesome. I can't wait. And not only is he saying that we're blessed, but remember the word blessed has this connotation that it's congratulations. So if you are persecuted for righteousness, congratulations. Good job. Way to go. Last week, we looked at the idea of peacemakers, and this week, we get to see what happens to peacemakers. They are persecuted. If a man is a peacemaker, you get persecuted. Now, you may say it's not worth it, but I would argue this: to be more like Jesus is always, always worth it. We've looked at the Beatitudes. We looked at poor in spirit. That how poor in spirit says that I can do nothing on my own. I recognize my ineptitude. I recognize my inability to reach God. I recognize my inability to do anything on my own, which leads us to mourning, because we recognize that when we are unable to reach God and God is holy and we are not, that we should mourn and we should say, wow, I'm a wretched man. I need God, but I can't get God, and so God has to come to us. And when we recognize that we need God and that sinfulness causes us to mourn, it helps us get a better perspective of who we are, which is the third one, which is gentleness or meekness. And it's this humbleness, this right attitude that who I am in God means that I don't have to be boastful. I don't need to be someone who needs credit. I don't need to be someone who needs it all. And when we have that connotation, or we have that perspective, it leads us to the fourth one, which is hungering and thirsting for righteousness, which means I want to be like Jesus. Not just I want another Bible study, not just I want to hear another good sermon, not just I want to sing another song, but I really want to be changed. I want righteousness. I want to be right with God. I want to be different. I want to be more like Jesus. And when that happens, it makes us merciful. Means we forgive. Means that we don't just forgive, but we have pity on those who need forgiveness. And then it means we want to be pure in heart. We want that righteousness to change our heart, and then leads us to be peacemakers. Not just wanting peace, but to actively pursue peace. And when all of that happens, the world is going to look at you And the world is going to say, I don't like you. The world is going to see you look like Jesus, and they're going to say, I don't want anything to do with you, and they're going to persecute you. And this is the last one. And the interesting, the promise is that you will inherit the kingdom of God. If you remember the first one, the promise is you will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what we call an inclusio, which means they're like acting like bookends. And they say, this is the first one, this is the end one, the last one, don't miss this. And so the goal of this is to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, to live in the kingdom of heaven. And it means to be more and more and more like Christ. This is what citizens of the kingdom look like. Is this what you look like? I hope over the last several weeks you've heard these different sermons, and you've heard these different Bible verses, and you've meditated on them, you've thought of them, and you said, do these describe me? And if they don't describe you, I pray that you've made some decisions and you've asked God for help, that you become more like what the Beatitudes described. Do you reflect the Beatitudes? Our goal today is to live righteously. And in order to do that, we need to understand why we are persecuted. So the first idea that we need to grab on is that being persecuted is part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. The Bible doesn't say, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are objectionable, however. It says, you are persecuted for righteousness. Now, there's a little thing that we need to grab a hold to. The cause of the persecution is righteousness. Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And when you are filled and you live righteously, which means actively living like Jesus, when you live that way, you will be persecuted because you live that way. So you are not persecuted because you are objectionable. We've got a lot of people in this world who carry the title and the banner of Christian, but they are really just jerks. Don't name names. And they are objectionable. They say things that are just, they just try to get people underneath people's skin. And they say things that are hurtful, and they say things that are mean, and they say, well, people are persecuting me. No, you're an idiot. You're objectionable. That is not why you're being persecuted. It says, it doesn't say that we are blessed if other people give us a hard time. It doesn't say that you are blessed if the Christian life is difficult, because guess what? It is. That's not what it means to be persecuted for righteousness. The Bible doesn't say blessed are those who persecute you as Christians because these Christians seriously lack wisdom and they do really foolish things and they're unwise and they just don't know how to tell and act right when it comes to their testimony. You can say things when you're not supposed to. I had a good friend. He's a missionary in Thailand. And Thailand is not what we call an open country. As a matter of fact, when a team comes in, he says, look, if you say the word missionary to me, I'm going to walk away from you. It's not because I'm being mean. It's not because I'm being rude. But it is because you connect me with missionary in this culture, I lose any ability to minister. He says, look, we've got these tracks. Do not pass out tracks on public transportation. You can only pass them out when you're having a conversation with someone in a village. Everybody says, okay, got it. So one day they're on public transportation. And this young, zealous young man gives a track when he's not supposed to someone on a bus. And they begin reading it. And he doesn't know the language, obviously, so he can't communicate with the person he's given the tract to. And so he hollers to the front of the bus, "Hey, I need my missionary." Now, you would say that that guy would be persecuted, right? No. He's not persecuted for righteousness. He's being persecuted because he's an idiot. They said, but he did a good thing. You know, he's giving the tract. He's sharing the gospel. Yes. You know what the missionary did? When the bus stopped, he got off the bus and left them all on it. Because this is where he lives. This is his life. And if some kid outs him for being a missionary, then he's getting kicked out of the country. So we can't let our folly, we can't let our foolishness get in the way and call it persecution. Persecuted for righteousness, for living like Jesus. There's a difference between being offensive and being righteous. We're not told that we are blessed when we're persecuted because we're overzealous. I'll never forget when I was younger and less wise. This song came out, and the song was Jesus Freak. And so, you know, it was DC Talk when there was DC Talk. For you today, that's Toby Mac and some other guys from different bands. But they had this song called Jesus Freak. And I was a teenager, and I was dumb. And so what I did was I got a sticker made that said Jesus Freak, and I plastered it on the front of my car because I was cool. And this woman one day at a store got really offended, and she said, "Why would you do that? Why would you say Jesus is a freak?" I was like, no, you don't get it. You don't understand. Jesus is not a freak. I'm a freak for Jesus. But how many people thought that and said, "I want nothing to do with that dude. He's crazy. He's overzealous." That's not persecution for righteousness. If you run somebody down in Walmart and say, "I'm going to share the gospel with you whether you want to hear or not," and Walmart kicks you out, that's not persecuted for righteousness. That's persecuted for overzealousness. So what does it mean to be persecuted for righteousness? What does it mean to be persecuted for someone who lives rightly and like God tells us to do? We need to be righteous, which is the second thing that I want you to grab a hold to. What does it really mean? Let me tell you what it's not. Being righteous is not being good or noble. People are good and noble all the time, and nobody persecutes them. A soldier jumps on a grenade and saves his platoon or those around him, but he dies. We admire him rightly, and we would say he's noble. Or someone runs into a house, a burning house, and saves someone, and they come out, and we celebrate them because they are being noble. We don't persecute them. So what is the difference between being good or noble and being persecuted for righteousness? Righteousness, you're persecuted because you're like Jesus. Some people say, "Well, Jesus, I mean, he's a good guy." Paul tells Timothy, "Hey, in fact, all those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. If you live godly like Christ Jesus, you're going to be persecuted." So, are you persecuted because you're righteous, or for some other reason, we got it? If you're persecuted for righteousness, Jesus says, congratulations. Blessed good thing. You say, well, what are some examples of righteousness? I think we go to Scripture. We go to a guy named Daniel. And you see, Daniel, he prays three times a day. He follows God. He's living for God. And these people set him up because he's living for God. They get laws passed to hurt him because he's living for God. They don't like him because he's living for God. What about Paul? Paul goes from being the persecutor to the persecuted. It's interesting if you ever read, I think it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul gives his list of how he's been treated or mistreated. He talks about being shipwrecked multiple times. He talks about being beaten with sticks. He talks about having been flogged multiple times. He talks about how people tried to stone him to death, and they thought he was dead, and they walked away, and he gets up, and he lives through it. Why do people hate Paul? Because Paul is acting like Jesus. A few years later, somewhere in the Middle Ages, there's this man named John Huss. And John Huss says, look, the people out there need the Bible in their own language. The people out there need to understand the truth of Scripture and understand the authority of Scripture. And so they need to hear Scripture in their own language rather than this language that nobody understands. And so John Huss begins teaching these things and other things, and they tie him to a pole. And they light it on fire. Because he wanted people to be like Jesus. They persecuted him. They killed him. You want to see persecution? Read the stories in the book, The Insanity of God. And see what it means to be persecuted because you're like Jesus. We don't persecute people because they're good and noble, because we think that if we try hard enough, we can be good or we can be noble. But the fact is, if no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard you try, you cannot be like Jesus on your own. You need help. You need the Holy Spirit living in you. You need to be a new creation. You need to be someone who is changed. And you give your life to him so that you can live a holy life. People hated Jesus. They're going to hate you. Say, but Jesus, I mean, he's a good guy. Like, he healed the blind people. He healed the lame people. He fed a lot of folks. He walked on water, which was pretty cool. You know, he did all these things. Why would people hate him? And they're like, he's not somebody to hate. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus is not that bad. Until you really get close to Jesus and hear what Jesus says, and then he gets to be hated. There's a difference between being persecuted and being persecuted for righteousness. And my prayer is that we don't get puffed up and prideful that we're persecuted for some other reason than righteousness. And when you're persecuted for righteousness, ironically, you won't be filled with pride. You won't be puffed up. So how do we live righteous? What does this righteousness look like in our everyday life? See, people like Jesus from a distance. They don't like him up close. And if you act like Jesus, the world is going to hate you too. Outside the church, and sadly, inside the church. If you act like Jesus inside the church, there are a lot of people who aren't going to like you, even though they should be acting the same way. They don't like you. And this beatitude tests our ideas of what it means to really be a Christian. It's not someone who just has a title. It's not someone who is American. It's not someone who is not something else. It's not someone who's patriotic. It's not someone who says the pledge. It's not someone who says, I go to church. It's not someone who does anything besides be like Christ. The term Christian comes from a slur. It says, you guys are like little Christ. Shame on you. They hated them. And now we wear that with like a badge of honor, and sadly we don't act or look like Christ a whole lot. To be a Christian is to be like Jesus. And the only way you'll be like Jesus is if you have the new birth. Nicodemus, very wise older gentleman who is a religious leader, comes to Jesus and he said, look, I've been listening to you, and it's kind of cool, but we need to talk about this. how do I get this eternal life? And Jesus says, "You the only way you get eternal life is if you're born again." And he pushed back and he says, well, look, I'm an old dude. My mom's gone. And so if I'm born again, how do I go back to her womb and get born again? And Jesus says, you missed it. It's not about being born again physically. It's about being born again spiritually. And when you're born again spiritually, Paul says that you are a new creation. The old thing has passed away, and look, everything is new. And so Jesus says, you've got to be born again. You've got to be made new. And the only way we do that is through him. The old nature hates Jesus. The old nature hates righteousness. And we've got to put away the old nature. And we live born again. We live new. We live with a new nature. We live as a new creation that loves Jesus and loves righteousness. And we give every opportunity we can to declare Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity today. Today we're having baptism. So when I'm done, I'm going to run back there and change and put on this white robe, because that's the thing we do. And I'm going to baptize at least one person because it was planned. But some of you have never followed Jesus in baptism. You've been saved already. You've never made that step. I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. We've got clothes here. We've got towels. We can do it. You've got no excuse. Some of you have not yet begun this new walk, though, this new life. I want to give you that opportunity today as well to become born again like Jesus says. Like Paul says, to become a new creation. If you've never done that, if you've never recognized your sinfulness compared to God and repented or turned away from that and given your life over to him, today is the day. Wait no longer. And if you want to be baptized, we could do it. So as Drake plays, I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to ask some of our deacons to come up.
And if you want to speak to them or pray with them or make a decision to follow them or to follow along Christ, I want you to do it with them. If you want to be baptized and you've never done that, grab clothes that'll fit. Girls go that way. Boys go that way. We're still in segregation when it comes to that. And I'll meet you in the back. Will you follow Jesus? Father God, we thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us, that you take care of us, that you give us new life. And Father, I pray that that if we're ever persecuted, it's not because of our folly or of our overzealousness, but it's because of your righteousness that's in us. And Father, I pray that we would live holy lives, that we'd recognize that persecution comes because we are righteous. You've warned us about it. Paul warns Timothy about it over and over again. You say, if they persecuted me, why wouldn't they persecute you? So, Father, I pray that we would follow you, we would live like you, and that you'd be honored today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Drake's going to keep playing. If some of our deacons would like to come up and be ready to pray with folks, I'm going to run to the back and change quickly, and then we'll have at least one baptism.